Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Young Chiromancers Podcast. Today is episode 6, and here with me over the air are Charlie and Miles.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
So, today we've got lots of interesting stuff. Everyone's shut in their houses because of this coronavirus thing. We're going to instate Miles as a permanent host, so he's now host. Yay. Clap, 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 clap. Okay. So yeah, he's going to be on a lot more episodes now. Okay, New Horizons. Let's jump straight in.
Okay, so first off, we have Secret Lair. Wait for it.
Ultimate Edition.
So, in this new edition of Secret Lair, which is as we've seen before, it's a set of cards that are getting new arts, and this is pretty eventful here. We are getting the fetch lands, the enemy fetches, to be exact. So this is Arid Mesa, Marsh Flats, Misty Rainforest, Scalding Tarn, and Verdant Catacombs. So fetch lands have been looking for a reprint for a very long time, and although still a little pricey, this is very important to see that we're getting the cards back into rotation. We're seeing them again.
Yeah, so the last time they were reprinted was Modern Masters 3, right?
I believe so.
Modern Masters 2017. Yeah, so back in 2017 they got reprinted, but these are super pricey. They're still not going to move within budget range. These are like premium foil edition collectors. We just thought it was notable that they're reprinting them. Really means nothing to us, sadly. It's fun. Oh, and the other notable thing is they're being sold in LGSs, which is new because up until this point, all the Secret Lairs have just been exclusively sold on the Wizards website. So now they're going to LGSs. Yay, support local businesses.
Yeah, the art for the Secret Lair drop is pretty cool, too. We have Seb McKinnon art for the Misty Rainforest.
Oh, yeah, we got is that the Ixalan one? Each one depicts a different plane. So there's like an Ixalan, there's one. Anyways, go look at the odds. They're great odds.
Yeah.
Moving on. Signature spellbook Chandra. So this is the newest signature spellbook. We already got Jace, and then we got Gideon. And two of the cards have been spoiled. Chandra Tortured Defiance, which is a really great reprint. Hopefully that one will come down.
Yeah.
And then Past in Flames, which is another expensive card that we also want to come down in price. I still don't think either of those move into budget range. But, good reprints.
How much are they right now?
Chandra is, like, 22. And then, Pass and Flames, I believe, is 8.
Okay.
Yeah, so, both still pretty pricey. But, good reprints. Good reprints.
Yeah, they look pretty fun.
Chandra was a big player in Kaladesh Standard. Did they play in Ramunap Red? That was before I really started following stuff. Okay, market price for Chandra Torture Defiance is $16. And then 34 foil.
Yeah,
it's going to be a foil, right? They're foiling it? Did they foil Jace? Did they, like, foil Jace and Gideon Jura?
Why wouldn't they foil it, right?
Well, so for the last ones, they had the original versions of them. So, like, they had Jace Balerion. And then they had the Gideon Jura. But for this one, Chandra Nalar is like
an actual piece of junk. It's like an alternate background foil. We've seen this kind of background before, but it's still pretty cool to see it. But Chandra's a really good card, and it's nice to see the reprint there.
Do you think we're going to get Bolt?
Oh. I would love to see Bolt come back.
Yeah, Lightning Bolt. When? Let me check. Oh, well, it did get a reprint. Masters 25. They reprinted it. Yep, Masters 25. Yeah. Okay. So next one on the list for New Horizons.
Yeah. So, coronavirus. Yeah.
Yay, Corona.
Yeah, Corona.
Yeah. So this is a very scary thing. So I would advise everyone to stay inside and wash your hands. I'm sure you've heard it.
Wash your hands, drink lots of water, and eat vitamins. I mean, not eat vitamins, eat vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, you should always eat vegetables and wash your hands, but also do more. Important now.
Welcome to the Young Pyromancers podcast, your new spot for all your vitamins and washing hands. Yeah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, scrub under your fingernails.
That is important. in other news, Ikoria, Mark Rosewater, on his blog, has released some cool new factoids about Ikoria. So I'll say our first one here. We're going to be seeing Magic's 7th egg card. So a card with the type of egg. So there are currently 6, and we're about to see a 7th in Korea.
Yeah, so this is so fun. Egg tribal. I have an Atla Polani, but there's not enough.
We're nearly there. Eggs yet. I mean,
chicken. So there's dragon egg, rock egg, Ludovic's test subject, summoner's egg, rock egg, and a chicken egg, which is an unglued code.
Yes.
So technically, yeah, that is a real magic code. It's just not legal in anything. Okay, there is also a code with the text 4 or more times this game. I'm guessing this probably means, like, it was mutate. Well, let's talk about mutation. Let's skip down a little bit. There's also a code with the text X is the number of times this creature has mutated.
That's pretty interesting. I'm excited to see what mutation is as a keyword. And I'm excited to see how this works with, particularly how this works with past cards and its interactions with older cards and if that even works at all.
Sojin Commander.
Yeah,
that's how they hinted at it. That's how they hinted at it. That's the only reason why mutation matters. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Sojin Commander was a card from Unsanctioned. Yes. Which was the latest unbox set, and it says whenever it had like the text, whenever you enchant, augment, or mutate a card, and we're like, huh, why would they put mutate on there? Well, now we have our answer.
Because they knew they were going to do something with it.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Oh,
foreshadowing the foreshadow. A card with the text, remove 8 foreshadow counters, so this is like the... It's probably going to be some sort of shadowy monster.
I'm guessing it's going to be something like Suspend.
Yeah, it's probably... What if it's like the Infernal Spawn of Evil? It's coming where you reveal it from your hand.
I'm coming too. back on track here.
A Magic's 3rd and 4th card with 0 is even reminder tech.
Yeah, so 0's even was also on Void Winnower.
Yeah.
I'm going to find the other one. I know it's on Void Winnower.
Probably the most notable one. Seeing as we know it, unlike the other card. But this will be pretty interesting to see that they're doing some cool new shenanigans with, like, converted mana cost and casting cards in a game. It'll add another layer of depth to the game and seeing, like, remember, how many times have I cast this? And that kind of thing, which will be pretty interesting to see.
Find the other one.
Some more things we're going to see are a card with the text total power 10 or less.
People are theorizing that this might be a giant Coco, giant collected company.
That sounds interesting. I saw another thing on Reddit about how it might be a black kill spell that says you may kill like any number of creatures with total power 10 or less.
So that'll what's it called? Sleep from Dungeons and Dragons.
That's pretty close to just a board wipe.
Where you have to affect the hit points. Yeah, it's. Well, they kind of did it with like Hex in C19, where it's like destroy exactly 6 creatures.
Yeah, that is a card, I suppose. Hex is a little weird in exactly 6, but. This next thing is the thing I'm most excited for. This is going to be Magic's largest power and toughness granting aura.
It better be like 7 green, 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 green for +15/+15 or something.
That would be awesome.
Currently it's Eldrazi Conscription, which is 8 mana for +10/+10 and Trample and Annihilator 2. So, needless to say, I'm very excited to see an aura that is more than plus 10 plus 10. But we'll see what it is.
Yeah, hopefully it's like plus 15 plus 15. That I'm would surprised they didn't do like a plus 13 plus 13 when they went to Eldritch Moon, because that whole set was based around the number 13.
Plus 15, yeah, that, 15, that and it's unblockable.
Or like trample?
No, yeah, something like that. No, just flat out unblockable.
Oh, so then it would be a blue enchantment. Yeah. That would be weird. I think this set is going to make green a lot stronger, which is really not what we needed right now.
Because green is already very massive.
They should make like a set that's centered around white ramp and card draw.
But then white would be good.
Ikoria, Lair of White Reprint. Yeah, so let's move along here. So we're going to see a couple other things that we'll talk about really quickly. So we're going to see a card with the text, X is the number of times this creature has mutated, as well as 13 different types of counters.
Including loyalty counters, so that's kind of included. But that's a lot of different types of counters. I think it's going to be, what, how many can we count? Plus one, minus one, loyalty, charge counters. Oh, are they going to bring back Infect?
I mean, if there's 13 different kinds, I wouldn't be surprised.
Experience counters, energy. Oh, they might bring back energy.
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely not a problem. They're probably not going to reprint energy, like do anything with energy anymore. It was too broken in Kaladesh Standard.
All right. And then lastly, we're going to see a cycle of cards that players have been asking us to make for over 10 years, Mark Rosewater says.
Okay, yeah, this one I think is big one. What is it?
I don't know.
I think it's probably
Dinosaur
Dinosaur. Well, they already did a legendary dinosaur cycle. They did the
Dinosaur Turtle, Ezra.
Oh, Dinosaur Turtle cycle? Is that what you were saying? What if
I'm
they do that?
I'm excited for my very own Orzhov dinosaur turtle. Okay, so
what about your control shark beast?
Yeah, creature types in Ikoria. Dinosaur turtle, shark beast, demon kraken, elemental otter, brushwag, and a nightmare squirrel.
What, brushwag exists? Mark Rosewater says it's the best brushwag that's ever existed. Okay, I'm doing a search really quick for the,
way ahead of you.
Brushwag?
Oh, you already got it? There's only one brushwag in existence. It's called Brushwag. It's one green.
Oh, I've seen this card.
Yeah, it's a creature Brushwag. Whenever it blocks or becomes blocked, it gets -2/+2 into undertone. It's a 3/2.
The art for this is fantastic.
Why is it a rare?
It's so broken. I think it should
Why is it a rare?
I think
it's 83 cents because people are buying the Power 10 for Brushwag.
All right, so we should probably get into what we're actually going to talk about
That's
now.
That's true. Okay. All
right. So,
we're 15 minutes in, and all we've managed to talk about were Nightmare Squirrels and Brushwags.
That sounds good to me. I'm not really finding much.
Wait, one second. Before we get into that, I want to address the nightmare squirrel in the room. It's a squirrel in a standard legal set, and this is like the first time squirrels have returned legally since Squirrel Nest in Future Sight.
When
is
did
that
squirrels
it?
Leave legally?
Well, I mean, when's the last time it's been legal in standard?
I was joking, because you
I'm
said...
I'm looking and I can't really find a squirrel. Yeah.
Okay, so today we're talking about Commander 101. And that is all we're going to be talking about. No
okay,
other.
I like talking about Nightmare Squirrel.
No more Nightmare Squirrels.
Okay. Yeah, Commander 101. So, this is probably what we should have done on the first episode, but we didn't. So now we're doing it now.
Woo! Right now. And only talking about Commander 101. Sounds good.
Okay, go.
Okay. So, deck differences. So in Commander, there's some deck differences that you'll see. So you'll have one commander, that's a legendary creature. Along with your commander, you're going to have a 99-card deck, and each of those cards must follow your commander's color identity. So, hypothetically, if your commander is a green legendary creature, then every colored pip and color indicator on cards in your deck must be green and only green.
Okay. So in Commander, you can only have one card. Like, you can only have one card with the same name. Unlike Standard and Modern, you can't have four of the same card. You can only have one.
Yeah, other than the basic land. The basic lands. Or cards that say you can have more than one. Like Relentless Rats, Persistent Petitioners.
Shadowborn Apostle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gameplay differences. So in Commander, you have 2 to 6 players, but normally 4. It's a free-for-all, so you can attack whoever you want.
Yeah, there's some strategies that depend on, like, who you're attacking. Like, some decks will want to spread the wealth, so to say, and other decks will simply, like, red aggro decks particularly, will want to focus one person and eliminate people one by one, which causes some controversy at some tables.
Yeah, because then there's one person just sitting around doing nothing. So, spread the damage or not. Just talk with your playgroup. That's the main thing. Communication. Talk with people.
Yeah.
You can cast your commander from the command zone, because it starts in a special zone called the command zone. And you can cast it as many times as you want from the command zone, as long as you pay 2 extra mana for each time it's been cast from there.
Yeah, so this means if my commander costs 2 green-green, then if my commander were to die and I wanted to return it to the command zone, the next time I cast my commander, it would cost 4 green-green rather than 2 green-green, because it's 2 additional generic mana.
You can choose to put your commander back in the command zone if it moves zones. So if it goes into your hand, your library, your graveyard, or exile, you can just put it back in the command zone.
Or you can let it go.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes it's a good idea. Like if it goes to the top
of your graveyard or something.
Yeah, but if it's going to exile and you're not playing Rift Sweeper, then don't.
Yeah.
Put it back in the command zone. Normally, it's just a good idea to put it back in the command zone, unless it's going to your hand, because if it's going to your hand or the top of your library, you can normally just leave it there.
Yeah, so this is a thing. I just want to clear this up really quick, because I had some confusion about it when I was learning the game. Mm-hmm. So, a zone is just a place where cards can be in the game. So it's like a location that a card can be. So it's like the battlefield, a card can be there. Your hand, a card can be there. So if a card were to go from one place to another, like a battlefield to a hand, so from the battlefield zone to your hand zone, then you could rather move it to the command zone than your hand.
And then commander damage.
Yeah. So
I didn't know about this rule until very recently when I was playing with Ezra. Like a month ago?
It doesn't normally come out unless you're playing against a feather deck or something.
The rule is, if you take 21 damage from a single commander, you lose.
So 21 seems like a weird number, but it actually has some basis. Originally, you couldn't play any legendary creature as your commander. You can only play one of the Elder Dragons from back in Legends. And then if you got dealt damage 3 times, they're all 7/7. So if you get hit 3 times by an Elder Dragon, someone else's commander, you died.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, so this has changed. But, so commander damage doesn't go away, just stays there the whole time. And notably, if a player has partner commanders, the partner commanders track commander damage individually.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, Thrasios and Timna, if you have, like, Thrasios Triton Hero and Timna the Weaver, they have partners, so if you have them both as your commander, and then if Thrasios dealt you 10 damage and Timna dealt you 11 damage, you don't die. Which is never going to happen, because they're both, like,
1/4 and a 2/2. But they can't individually.
Thrasios is a 1/3.
Oh, right? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, let's move into the deck building segment, where we're going to talk about, like, how you generally want to build a commander deck. So let's talk about the two pillars of the format, so ramp and card draw.
Okay, so generally you want 10 to 15 cards of ramp, and ramp isn't necessarily a creature. It could be an artifact or a spell, like an instant or sorcery. It doesn't have to be a creature unless you're specifically running, let's for example, a green deck and you're using Arbor Elf or something.
Yeah, the best forms of ramp, normally the best form of ramp is land-based ramp. Land-based ramp because it's the hardest to remove.
Yeah.
So people don't remove your lands.
I think it entirely depends on your strategy, though. It really just, like, what are you trying to do and how are you trying to do it? Like, if you're trying to ramp really fast, creatures are technically the most efficient way because they're one mana to add one mana.
One mana or more sometimes.
But they also essentially enter the battlefield tapped, though, because they can't tap on their first turn.
Yeah, so, I mean, it really just depends on your strategy.
It depends. So if you're playing, like, a true lane deck, which cares all about creatures, then, yeah, you want to play all your mana dorks. But if you're playing a generic green deck, say, what's a good example of a Electrostani, Selesnya's Voice or something, then you'd want to play land-based ramp. Because it's harder to remove. And then if you're playing an artifact-based strategy, then artifact base ramp is your best bet.
So, like, Onake. Or Kirkash. Onake, well, that's his name.
Yeah, Kirkash Onake Ancient.
Kirkash's artifact, something like Sasaya, Orochi Ascendant, is it like a land-based ramp commander?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But yeah, so let's move on here. So we're looking for, I don't know if we should, 10 to 15 ramp and 10 to 15 card draw. It depends on what you're trying to do. You could even go a little less if your commander is like a card draw engine or it ramps you or something like that.
So again, like true lane, you could go with less card draw because every time you play a creature, you're drawing a card.
Yeah.
And then you can ramp with a land if you have one in your hand.
Yeah, rather than play like stuff that actually draws you a card, you can just play a creature that draws you a card in itself.
Right, like all of these are flexible depending on the deck you're playing.
Well, it's also worth noting that card draw is generally more than one card. Because if you're just drawing one card, or you're only gaining one card in the exchange, or not, you want to gain one card off the exchange. You're using one card to draw one card is fine, but normally what you want to do is you want to use one card to draw two or more cards, because then that's like, you're actually filling your hand.
That's not, that's not card draw, that's just like card filtering.
Cycling.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cycling, it's cantripping. 5 to 8 targeted removal. You want to say? So this is just you. I mean, some play groups are like, oh, we don't play with removal. I mean, you generally want to play with removal because your opponents can do scary things, and so it'll help your strategy if you remove their things.
Yeah, and it always helps to kill things.
You always want to do what you want, but sometimes you have to do or deal with what they want, because sometimes what they are doing hurts what you are doing, and so you have to do something about it. That's how I think about it, at least.
Anyways, play removal. Also, board wipes. Did I just say board wipes?
I think so.
What if I just say board grapes?
Board bananas?
So in a deck, you want like 3 to 6 board grapes, usually. So board grapes are stuff that essentially clears the board of everything on it. So it's like a grape in that if you squeeze it, it explodes and it gets rid of all of its surroundings.
Yeah, like Navinreal's Disc is like a giant raisin that it's 4 mana and enters the battlefield tapped. And if you pay 1 mana into it and tap it, it destroys all artifacts, creatures, enchantments, and planeswalkers. No, not planeswalkers. Not planeswalkers. It all destroys all enchantments,
artifacts,
and creatures.
Are the planeswalkers the ones that harvest the grapes?
The planeswalkers are the ones that harvest the grapes and then
turn them into planes.
But wait.
They walk the planes and pick the grapes and then turn them into raisins.
Guys, are we using wipes now because all the toilet paper is sold out?
We should just call it board, not toilet paper.
Planes wipers. Moving on. lands. So in a commander deck, you typically want 36 to 40 36 to 40 lands. But again, this is definitely depends on your deck. If you're running like a land-focused deck, like Lord Windgrace or something, then you'll want more lands and more.
Yeah, I play 42 in my Tatiova deck because it's because it's a land-based deck, so I want to play lots of lands so I can draw cards with Tatiova.
Yeah. So now we are going to move on to the color wheel. So we're going to talk about the five colors of Magic, their advantages and their advantages and disadvantages in the Commander format.
All right, let's start off with white.
White generally is good at life gain, creating tokens, and it's by far the best at board wipes.
Yeah.
It's got a ton of them.
By far? I mean,
think about it. White has.
I mean, what else is it going to do?
Color.
There's what else okay, is white going to do other than board wipe?
All right, so we like to crap on white on the cast as well as everybody because white is terrible. And there's a statistics episode about the Command Zone podcast, and they have statistically proven that if you have white in your deck, you're decreasing your chances of winning. So that's not to say don't play white. It's just if you want to win, don't play white.
Well, that's not necessarily true. There's nothing wrong with playing white. It's perfectly okay to play a white deck. White decks are kind of just trashed on because white typically does not have the characteristics that a commander deck typically resembles, like ramp and card draw. White focuses more on community and building friendships, which, although maybe won't win you a game of Magic, are very nice attributes in a person. And at the end of the day, is it really about Magic or is it about making friends while you play Magic? That is the question.
I like destroying my opponents over and over again. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so let's talk about black then.
Because we have nothing good to say about white.
So, next up we have blue. So, blue is typically known for like its knowledge and wisdom in Magic. But blue focuses on being one step ahead of your opponent, basically. So some of blue's strengths in EDH are drawing cards at instant speed, notably, counter spells, which are essentially the biggest know-you of the format, and just knowledge in general. And just
when
really
you said blue was all about knowledge, I was like, or being obnoxious.
Yeah, blue is kind of, you know, mono-blue counter spell decks that are focused on solely on stopping your opponents are generally kind of annoying or considered annoying by your opponents, to say the least. But,
definitely.
Blue really just focuses on, like, being one step ahead of your opponents, although it may not be able to get one step ahead of, in its card ability to ramp quickly and, like, destroy creatures and other permanents like that.
Yeah, definitely. I think blue's main focus is don't let them play the permanent.
Oh, well, also in blue, blue has a weakness to, like, permanently kill stuff, like creatures particularly. But, I mean, blue can really just do it all.
They can bounce creatures. Blue can bounce
creature and then counter them.
And now, recently, blue has had, or, like, in the last few years, blue's had some more cards that help it out, like Curse of the Swine and Reality Shift and Pongify.
Yeah, so now it is like, and then Rapid Hybridization. So like, blue is actually removing creatures just fine. So, like, it's just tossing the color wheel. Wizards, stop making blue so good. Okay, I'm done. Blue's also my favorite color, so whatever. Make it good.
We should make white a little bit better too, I think.
I'll send a strongly worded email to Wizards about this.
It's okay, they're not going to listen to us. It doesn't matter. They have enough complaints about white being bad. I don't think they need to hear it from more
people.
All
right, let's continue on here. So, talking about black. So, black is known for its cruelty and its
killing things.
Yeah, killing things, basically, as well as being known for having some big demons and things of the sort, some underworldly things. So black is very good at killing creatures, as you would expect from the demonic black color. Black is good at drawing cards, particularly drawing cards.
And then losing life, yeah.
And then losing life, and also drawing cards and making your opponents discard cards in the process. So just gaining card advantage while losing life as a way of paying for this card advantage, in a sense.
They also sacrifice creatures for cards.
Yeah.
So it's basically sacrificing stuff for cards. They'll sacrifice anything for knowledge. So that's the black thing. They also deal with the graveyard.
Yeah, and reanimation decks.
So yeah, they do lots of messing around with the graveyard and stuff.
Yeah, reanimation and just caring about the graveyard. Zombie tribal is a tribal thing that is mainly associated with black. And zombies are very reliant on the graveyard, as you would expect.
They're zombies. They're dead.
Yeah, they're zombies.
Black is bad at artifact and enchant removal. They don't do so well removing those.
Yeah. I mean, black...
They don't kill anything that doesn't have a life.
Yeah, basically. Oh, that's the mentality.
Yeah.
Green.
Green. Green is super good at like having massive creatures, mana ramp, and it's got a fair bit of card draw.
Yeah.
I love the giant creatures. Personally, I've got a Stompy deck, and I love my full art Galta.
Giant Dino Man.
Yes, Giant Dino Man.
Green is bad at killing creatures, and it's not so great on like the stack in like countering stuff and dealing with stuff with instant speed at instant speed, but it's really actually not that bad, and because it has stuff like Crows and Grip with split second, it's got lots of instant speed removal stuff.
Yeah. Lastly, here,
I like green.
Green is my favorite color personally. Probably
for me, it's probably black.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got green, blue, black in here.
Oh, Sultai. I like Sultai.
Sultai's the graveyard colors. Yay.
Yay.
I think there's some very strong commanders in Sultai, personally. I'm not going to name any, but I mean...
You're not going to say the M word. Okay, so... sorry, that was a dead joke. Muldrotha is the Sultai commander that does stuff with the graveyard, and Charlie's Muldrotha deck is illegal when we play because it's too mean. It just kills all of your stuff and then doesn't let you play magic because of like Butcher of Malakir and stuff.
Continuing on here, red, we're going to talk about red lastly here. So red is kind of more crazy and does some more shenanigans, focusing on doing stuff fast and dealing a lot of damage. But red also has some focus on artifacts and some synergies that go with it, and some commanders that do it, such as Duretti and Kirkesh.
We should brew a Kirkesh deck because we talk about it a lot, but we haven't brewed one. Kirkesh is cool. Kirkesh doubles up mana... not mana abilities, it's just Kirkesh... Kukesh is cool. It doubles up activated or triggered abilities of artifacts?
No, just activated.
Oh, just activated abilities of artifacts. Okay, anyways.
That's pretty cool.
Red is bad at mana ramp, and it's also bad at removing enchantments.
Yeah, and so that's all we're...
Red the best at late game?
I don't think so. No, I think
generally, when I think of it as kill your opponents as fast as you possibly can.
Well, red's
oh, red's bad at late game. Yeah, red is not great in the end game.
However,
but it does have finishers like Insurrection and stuff.
However, red does have a few cards that are good in the late game and are really good, and particularly one of those cards that we have already talked about today is Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
We don't talk about expensive cards on this podcast. We're a budget podcast.
All right, so Yeah, that is all we have planned.
Alright, so, everyone have fun playing Commander. Leave feedback wherever you listen. We're now on Apple Podcasts, so, go subscribe on Apple Podcasts, if you're not already there. Like, share, subscribe, and, email us if you have any questions at youngpyrocast@gmail.com. We've got lots of stuff down in the description below, but, one big thing is if you go to our Anchor page, you can send us a voice message, and you have the chance to be possibly featured on a future episode. So send us your voice message along with your first name, and then we might feature you and answer your question on your next episode.
Yeah. So, yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Miles for now being a co-host. We'll be adding him to all of our names and stuff.
It's a lot of fun being here. Thank you for inviting me that one time.
Yeah, no problem.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's all we got. Miles, you got anything?
Nope, I don't think so.
Right. Okay, so, everyone, see you next time. Stay fresh. Play Magic. This has been the Young Pyromancers Podcast. And join us again. Oh, that's the last thing that I wanted to talk about. We've got lots of... what was I going to say? We've got lots of content lined up for this week because everyone's stuck indoors and stuff. You can go listen to the last podcast. But we did not do a fun closing segment this week. So do we want to do the random generator on Scryfall?
Yeah, do
we want to do random code? We're going to do random code.
I want to do random card because I want to see something.
Let's do random code. Let's do random code. Okay, random code.
What is it?
It's the Tree Folk token from Commander Anthology. Never mind. We're clicking it again. Oh no. I hate this code so much. Okay, we're going to talk about it anyways. It's a Millery Sphere. It's 2 mana for an artifact.
Sphere is great.
No, it's not. It's terrible. I hate it. 2 and tap it. Sacrifice it. Search your library for up to 2 basic land cards. Reveal them. Put them into your hand, people. Hand! It's not good! It goes into your hand. If it goes into the battlefield, it's good. Battlefield, good. Hand, bad. It's
perfectly good.
It's not, though. It's a trap. It's played in so many decks, but it doesn't need to, unless you want lands in your hand.
It's good. It's such good fixing.
Okay, well, play in your 5-color decks, but I've seen people playing this in 1, like, mono-colored decks. That's what makes me upset.
Makes you hit land drops.
Okay, fine. But, like, well, still, there's better versions of this. Like, come on.
Alright, let's wrap it up here.
Okay.
We are all... So, thanks everyone for listening up, and, we'll see you in the next few days, because we've got lots of content lined up. Okay, anything else before we close this out?
We have cut.
Oh, we have?
We've cut. Okay.
Okay, we're terrible endings. Bye. Alright, see you everyone next week.
Ezra, we already cut.
How do you know?
Okay, cut. 3, 2, 1.
Now we're cutting. I'm just gonna leave this entire segment in to see how just so people can see how unprofessional we are.
I agree. That sounds
good. We're not good at this, guys. Okay, now we're officially signing off. 3, 2, 1.